How important has your work in education and teaching in art schools been? Or let's put it another way, how have you seen the relationship between your work as a teacher and the work that you've been doing in the studio?
Well, I think it's been much more important to me than it's been to most artists, because first of all, all the things I've been talking about are kind of notions about, you know, what is art, what isn't it, you know, how can you believe this? They're notions about kind of creativity and about objects, about how people do things and how people think, and I've always just found that incredibly interesting. And if you're teaching, it's just this amazing thing. People do these amazing things in front of your eyes, and you just get to watch how you start to see patterns about how people behave and what people do and how people move from one thing to another. And I've learned a fantastic amount from watching all that. I've also stolen a few things from students over the years. And students do have a kind of way of knowing about things, you know, in that funny way that, you know, like all 16-year-old kids, they all know exactly the right records to listen to, they all know the right kind of shoes to wear, they all have the right kind of haircuts. Nobody ever tells them, but they all know, all over the world, they all know. And the same thing is true of art students. They kind of know something, which when you get older, you lose. You don't have that osmosis that takes information from person to person. So if you're associated with art students, or if you're in an art school where there are people kind of alive to things, you can pick up a lot that can be quite difficult for somebody of my age, but they're filtering it all the time. So I've always found that interesting, and I have found it very intriguing trying to see what it was that constituted creativity, because I have the idea that there are consequences of that any, you know, in the trends, anything can be art. You can make art out of absolutely anything. It can be about anything. This is a wonderful freedom, and it's a terrible disaster for everybody because it's so difficult to cope with. And then you see how people try to deal with this. The other consequence of that is, of course, that anybody can do it. Anybody can be an artist. There's not a type of person who can be an artist. And there's not a lot of artists think, I don't believe this. I don't think there's any type. Why should there be a type of person when there's no type of stuff? And so everybody has to kind of use what it is that they've got. So if you just watch people use what they've got, and they can't have what each other have, although they'd like to. I've met many students who have had abilities and gifts that I wish I had, but I don't have them, so I deal with the ones I've got and they have to deal with the ones they have. But if they do that, that's very interesting. It's always interesting.
How are you finding having the show up?
Well, it's very satisfying, I have to say. It's very intriguing for me and very pleasant because I've done work that has taken so many forms. I mean, for most of the people here, everybody looks so young that nobody remembers, you know, it's one or two people, old friends. And but I mean, I had my first show in 1969, and that show was Boxes. A year, 18 months later, I had a show that was Balances. A year later, I had a show that was Clipboards. A year later, I had a show that was Mirrors with the Mirrors with the Numbers. A year later, I had the show Mirrors with the Writing. A year later, I had the Oak Tree. A year later, there was the Neons. The year later, there was the Paintings with the Little Pictures in the Corner. The year later, there was the Wall Drawings. And so, anybody who missed a show missed a whole patch of work. And nobody knew what to expect from me from one show to another. It actually got to be kind of a pressure because everybody expected me to do something absolutely 100% different every single time I had a show. So nobody has ever really seen even my best friends, nobody has seen none of them went to all of those shows. So I'm the only one who remembers all that. And it is very, very different to me now, of course, when I see a few things from those things and I can put them together in a kind of way. And I have to say that one of the things that's been kind of thrilling for me is that the show is actually much more like what I meant my work to be like than I thought it was before I did the show. suddenly when I saw it all together, I thought, my God, it's exactly what you meant. It's what you were thinking about. And it's more like that than I had ever realized, because even for me, all the fragments were fragmentary. And I always changed the thing, because it always seemed to me everything I did that was fragmentary didn't answer something else, so the next thing would try to answer the thing that I think was left out with this thing. And then I do that, and I think, oh yeah, but that's all right, but that's left out this, and I have to do this in order to make up for the fact that I feel it's missing, and that's how it's been.
I think we should let people ask some questions, if they would like.
Michael, I'd like to ask you about the iconography of the paintings. Take, for example, the black painting with the white square with the globe inside it. The catalogue mentions in several places that you expect a lot of the spectator. Do you expect the spectator to carry on the story from, as you said, colour, line, book? Do you expect the spectator to complete a story, or is there a conclusion that you've drawn from these associations?
I suppose I don't really think about them like that. I mean, I think what I wanted to do with the paintings was, I mean, a lot of the work of the last, I don't know, 5 or 10 years has been to try to turn, whereas the first part of the work is about turning objects into images, the second part of the work is about trying to turn images into objects. And so my notion with the paintings was that this image, which is attempting to move towards life size, the light bulb is not quite life size, but it's trying to move towards an actual size thing. It's just, you know, it's just a white square. The black line is just the same black that runs right through the whole rest of the painting. It's just this, and it's incredibly thin, this sheet thing. So, but everything is very, very physical about it, but it needs this incredibly massive physicality in order to somehow be the equivalent of physicality of a regular light bulb. Does that make sense? It's like, the physicality of something is so strange. I think it's very, very difficult to get that sense of something. And so I wanted kind of one thing to be, I want the painting to be one thing. It's like trying to get the painting to be the light bulb at the same time. It's very difficult to describe. It's like there's a difference between the pictorial image and the thing. And the pictorial image, which is what you read, the painting doesn't look like a light bulb. It's only the little picture that looks like the light bulb, but it's the painting that I want to be the light bulb. Does that make sense? I don't know if that answers the question.
Michael, to continue that question in a way, I mean, a lot of the things you've been saying about the objects, especially in the wall drawings, where it's perhaps put most clearly, where you might have a globe, a stepladder, a handgun, a pair of spectacles, and so on, is in a way you negate the differences between all these objects, that they no longer stand for all the associations that those objects normally have, some of which are very threatening, some of which are very mundane and ordinary. And there seems to be a sort of tension between, as you were saying about the light bulb just now, I mean, a tension about difference in the work, about what these things might mean. You're kind of removing the symbolic values that these things have, the associations you have, and then you're trying to put it back in there again somehow, or to reinvest it with another kind of quality. And you said in answer to one of the earlier questions that Mike Archer made, that you never knew what to make art about, but perhaps it's this question of what things mean to you as objects that is at the heart of perhaps what your work is fundamentally about. I just throw that in as
no, but I don't know. I mean, I think I The art that I like tends to be very physical. I like the physicality of art, and which explains a little, I mean, for those of you who know the things I like, it's obvious that there's this quality, and that's one of the reasons why it was always very difficult for me in terms of conceptualism, because I was never a person who thought that the idea was more interesting than the thing. I'm interested in the thing, but I use ideas as a way of trying to deal with the thing. I mean, I feel, you see, I mean, if you take somebody like Andy Warhol, I think that Warhol's paintings, which I think are absolutely extraordinary, one of the things that he realized was that if you used an image of Marilyn Monroe for absolutely nothing, you got everything that Marilyn Monroe represented. Everybody brings all of that with them. You don't have to put it in. All you need is her face there, and everybody's idea and everything they feel about Marilyn Monroe is brought to your picture. And he did that. All of his best paintings are all about objects which are famous, because the more famous it is, the more people have, the more information there is, the more ideas people have, the more things people bring to them. So the paintings get better and better. You have the Coca-Cola bottle, they're really fabulous. With Campbell's soup, they're fabulous, because everybody's bringing so much. So my notion about these simple objects is a kind of similar thing. He used things which have this kind of fame imagery, and I've never been interested in exactly the same kind of things, but, you know, light bulbs aren't famous, but they're so familiar that they also carry this kind of big information with them. So I felt that I could just use those things and people would bring all of that stuff. What's amazing is what I don't have to say in order to get all of that. And that's the thing that intrigues me about the images of things, because they carry, I can make a light bulb that's 12 feet across and nobody thinks light bulbs are 12 feet across. I can make it out of this thin line of tape that's just, you know, a couple of yards of tape. Everybody knows it's made out of glass, that it lights up, that it goes into a socket, there's electricity, da-da-da-da, it lights the room, you can read. The story is fantastic, and I haven't done anything.
So in a way, you don't have to make the object more special, leave it to the
beholder, the viewer, to bring whatever it is, their own associations to it.
Absolutely.
And show and tell. You show and they tell.
Yes, exactly. I mean, all of my work is very, very audience self-conscious. I always put myself in the position of the audience, and I try to please myself. I try to make myself intrigued, and where I've shocked anybody, I've tried to shock myself. And it's not easy to shock me, so I figure if I can do that, then I might be able to shock somebody else.
Do you surprise yourself?
I have sometimes, not a great deal, I have to say, but I mean occasionally. I mean, there are things that have surprised me.
I mean, there must be objects that have strong associations to you and you don't use them because of them.
Well, some of them do, but you see, some of them have become now... I don't know, I mean, for instance, I can't really tell you why, but there are certain images, I mean, I have a vocabulary of about 200 images. Some of them I have never, ever used, ever, in anything except the original drawing. Other ones I use over and over and over again. It's like the globe is one of them, it appears over and over again, the light bulb, it appears over and over again. Some of them, there was a period when I did do things with clothing. I don't know, so I'm not interested in that. I don't know why, it doesn't come up anymore. So obviously there are factors at work, but I don't know what they are. And I'm not sure that it's very important. I mean, I try to work very, very much on the surface of things. I think that anything that's kind of, there's lots of things that are very odd about art and about everything else in life, and that all operates just below that surface. And that's why it's never seemed to me of any interest to express anything. I mean, I have no interest in expressing anything, because you do automatically. I mean, I can't stop doing it, because you can't start doing it, you can't stop, why worry about it? You should do something else and let it happen. And I think that the work, you know, if you go to that show, it obviously expresses, you know, it's got a lot of things that are expressed. I didn't set out to express them in that sense at all, but they surface because I'm me, you know. anybody that happens. I don't know why people worry about such things.
But lots of people do.
I think people worry about meaning too much, you see, too, because it seems to me that there's far too much meaning in art, and that the difficult thing is getting rid of it, not putting more in. I don't really know what I'm going to do next, but I am in the... I've only really started doing the paintings, and there are things I want to do in the paintings which I haven't done. And so that's an obvious thing. The other thing is that there's definitely something about this kind of collapsing of my life's experience into this very compact period of time, which has made everything that I've ever done, you know, I mean, once I did the box pieces, you know, I did the last box piece, I think about 1970, I've never done another one, you know, that was it. And I did the balance beat, and that was it, 71, they're gone. And now, suddenly they all feel kind of current, and I feel, well, I could make a box piece, couldn't I? Because I don't feel as distanced from them as I used to. And they seem, I'm not saying I will, but I feel much more like it's possible to do, to touch on those other things again. I don't know.
I mean, to take a more recent example, the blind pieces. I mean, the last time I was talking to anyone about what you were doing, which is not that long ago, you were making blind pieces, and now that's all done, and you're doing something completely different.
The blind pieces, I mean, there are other things I want to do. I wanted to do something, you see, this is very, again, very typically me. I was doing all the metal pieces for a long time. And if you're working at anything, everybody knows this, if you're working at something and you're working a certain kind of way, you build up patterns of working, patterns of thinking, you have a routine, you have a daily behavior. And then if you really want to change, it's very difficult because you have to stop. You have to kind of, you know, and I wanted to stop doing them. And it was very difficult to figure out just kind of how to wind down. So I decided that the thing that was keeping everything together so much were the drawings themselves. And I hadn't done anything that didn't involve those drawings since about 1978. So, you know, this is only about a year ago, so it's like, it was about 10 years I'm doing things with using the drawings. So I basically made an attempt to work without that work that was not dependent on the drawings. And I can't remember how it came about. I mean, it came about through there was an earlier piece that I used a Venetian blind in, and that kind of, you know, it spun some other possibilities. And for many years, the question of paintings had been in my mind, and then the question of the blinds being so much like paintings, that came about because I'm thinking about paintings, and then they led very quickly and very easily for me into the paintings as a way of, that's why I very much wanted to have them in the exhibition, and in that kind of, there's a kind of lobby with a few in it, which is because they're the kind of introduction to the paintings, it's the kind of way into them for me. There are still things, I know this, I think the Venetian blinds are very interesting, and I don't think I've done it, everything that's there.
They seem to me to be quite closely connected to the box pieces in some way, in that they're manipulable. Do you actually conceive them as having the fixed form that we see on the gallery walls at the moment, or do you understand us also to want to kind of open one section and pull one up a bit?
When I did them originally, I had the idea that people, you know, would open and close them. Then, as I had them around more and everything, I preferred them just all shut. Just made them all the same. They weren't so. Otherwise, they were a little bit fussy and everything. But I've always had the idea that you can't control a work. I mean, I can in the gallery. I mean, it's really ironic, isn't it? I make the boxes that people can open and close, and weights you can pull, and of course you can't touch anything. But the idea was that you could touch them, and I would expect, if I owned one, I'd open and close it. But, so I feel like you can't control that, so it doesn't matter. But I do, but they are very like the early work in that they are ready-made objects, completely untampered with. I simply phone in the measurements and tell them the color code I want, and then they arrive, and I just put them on the wall. And so that's very like the milk bottles or the, you know, the things for the earlier things, where I tried to use objects without tampering with them. And but the earlier things that I did that with had their essential relationship was with sculpture, whereas the Venetian blinds, although they are objects, their relationship is with painting. And that's really the kind of difference. But they seem to be so like painting, so they made they helped me to make the move to painting, which seems to me to be the most kind of conventional form of art, and has for that very reason always been incredibly intriguing to me. I mean, I think for an artist like me, it's more difficult and more dangerous to play with the paintings than it is to do things like the boxes, because they're conventional. For somebody who is essentially very conventional as an artist, then maybe they're not, but for me, it's a bit riskier to deal with all that. And the way in which I feel like keeping myself at risk has been to deal with things which are more conventional rather than things that seem to be more far out.
Who do you feel, close to at the moment as an artist? I mean, a lot of the issues you're dealing with seem to be shared concerns. And I wondered, you know, being a kind of exile, in a way.
Being
a kind of exile, in a way. Whether that's important to you to feel part of a moment, a group, at least to have a peer group in your trust or can relate to them. You spoke earlier very much about Barry Flanagan. And, there must have been moments when it's been difficult to be in England, and a lot of the ideas which you've been working with have not been popular, whether or not they're national is another thing. And I wonder who, amongst, particularly I think amongst younger generation artists, who you feel a kind of affinity, or whether a lot of the ideas you deal with are things that you've fed through to younger artists now.
Well, I mean, I should say that I have never felt, I mean, it's been, I suppose in some ways I felt kind of unhappy about it through a lot of my life, but I feel, I have never felt part of a group of artists. But I, strictly speaking, you know, I mean, with the people who I was associated with, I was one of the people who was most different. I mean, in England, I didn't deal with nature, and I never dealt with photography. And if you didn't deal with either of those, you were kind of, you were a bit marginalized, and neither of those ever really interested me. And I've always seen myself in relation to lots of other art. I've always felt very close to lots of things. Completely other than that. I felt that was the correct association, but I couldn't feel a kind of comradeship of interest in a direct way. So I, you know, over the years, I've liked many people who are, you know, people like Robert Morris and Naumann and Ruscha and Archvager and Johns, and, you know, it's kind of obvious in what I've done. Among young artists, I mean, there's some young artists here. I mean, I like the work of Julian Opie and Lisa Milroy very much. And there's Michael Landy here and a few other people in the audience. Who,
I didn't want to be discreet. I just
no. There's certain people whose work I don't think any of them do what I do. But there certainly are things about their work that intrigues me, and it changes because there's different ways in which I feel able to relate to that work than I did to work 15 years ago, because there's different ways for me to connect with it. As I say, I like work that's obviously very concrete and very straightforward. I've made it very clear about what I don't like. So if, you know, so work that comes closest to having a very straightforward, straightforwardness obviously is very much more attractive to me than something which I see as romantic, romantic.
Is there anyone else who wants to ask a question?
What did shock you, Michael?
What?
What
did
shocked you?
I think there were two things. I mean, the oak tree shocked me, and the first wall drawing. And when I did the first wall drawing show, at the time I didn't have a studio, and I just worked in my flat. And I had been doing the drawings this size with the tape, and then I had a show coming up, like, 2 weeks. And I had never done one on the wall before the first show, and I didn't know it would work. And if it hadn't worked, there wouldn't have been a show, because I didn't have anything else. And I just had the slides, and I went in with the tape, and it instantly worked, and it absolutely floored me, because I had never seen anything like it. I couldn't believe how amazing they were, I had never seen one. That was a shock. It's very, very hot in here, isn't it?
Yes.
Has everybody had enough?
Just one more question, and then we'll go.
You used the expression "no type of stuff." You said there was no type of artist because there was no type of stuff. You also, this is going back a bit, but in the oak tree piece, use the term, well, there's accidents and substance, but you use the term substance. You also use the phrase actual substance. Mm-hmm. Could you elaborate a little bit assuming it's possible, on the meaning of those two terms as you use them?
What was the first one?
Stuff, basically, stuff. And substance.
Let's see. I suppose my notion of things is that in a world where it's very hard to believe in anything very much, you're kind of reduced to believing in stuff, because somehow it's easier to kind of, it's like getting a grip on things. And I think that, making things, well, there isn't any there are no particular materials for making art. You can make art out of any kind of stuff. The thing is, what I like about art, I like the idea that it is stuff, that it's material. That's what I meant by its physicality. Because there's something, it seems to me it's incredibly important that it's a kind of link between a lot of things. It's not like, people talk about my having an interest in philosophy, which is really kind of, it's a little bit like philosophy by, the meaning of life. And other kind of intellectual concerns like that. But really, what's intriguing about art is that you bring all that together in making something and stuff. I like doing these. I have to admit, I was shocked at my exhibition about how little of the work I've ever actually made. I mean, about 80% of the exhibition I never made. And I didn't realize it was quite such a high percentage. But I do like making that. I like the bringing together of things you think about and just making things. It's very pleasant. Making the wall drawings is wonderful.
Just a last follow-up question. So is there, say, you talked about the stuff, the glass that's there. I mean, is there any generic difference between, the stuff that is the glass and the stuff that is the chair that you're sitting on?
In a certain sense, no. But the thing that this is one of the things that's important to say about the wall drawings. I always do the drawings of, I do a drawing of a real thing. And I am not trying to make a generalized cartoon image of such a thing. I am trying to get something that is as close as I can to a specific thing as possible, without it being specific. But you're all sitting on these chairs, which are all identical. And if you went out of the room, and I said there were two chairs, and I mixed them up, you wouldn't know which one was which. But they are different. They are different. But they don't look very, very different. It's really hard to tell, unless you do something funny to it. Put an X on it or something. And so, I'm very intrigued by the uniqueness of this glass. This is the one that's in my hand. I like this one. I understand this one. Although it's just like lots of others. And I wouldn't know the difference myself if there was another one here. But it is, this, it is special. It's this one. That's what I think is interesting.
If you spend very little time making the object, making the stuff, then how do you entertain yourself?
pacing up and down.
I think on that note, thank you very much.